So everything ready, everybody ready. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. So, today we continue with the mental factors belonging to the wholesome cognitions. And we have started with 19. I have already mentioned in the Theravada tradition, there are 19 mental factors belonging to all wholesome cognitions without exception. No matter whether it is a wholesome cognition on the Kamavachara plane or wholesome cognition in the so-called Mahagata, the sublime cognition, which means Rupa and Arupa, and even the Lokuttara, the supermundane wholesome cognitions, they all have these mental factors. They cannot be separated from them. So it is important to see that whenever there is a wholesome mind, there must be these cognitions. You just can't do without them. And they don't come just separately, one of them, two of them, or three of them. They appear, all 19 of them together. In addition to the seven sabbacitta sadharana, which we have mentioned in the beginning, and most of the pakinakas, there are some exceptions, we will talk about it, but most of the pakinakas, with the exception of piti, the joy which belongs only to the minds which are connected with somanasa, with pleasant mental feeling. Otherwise, as far as the wholesome cognition is concerned, they all must be there. All the six or five pakinakas, starting with vitaka, vichara, then virya, adimokha, chanda, all will be there. So it's good to become familiar with them and to contemplate them, understand them. And we have also pointed out, I teach you not according to the order of the book, I teach you according to the order as these mental factors are investigated in the living tradition of Abhidhamma meditation. And in the living tradition of Abhidhamma meditation, when you investigate the chittavitis, the path of cognition, you start, as we have said, with the Mahagata chittas, with the sublime minds. Only when you have sublime mind, then you will be able to see clearly these chittavitis, which we have pointed out, are the key to the understanding of the whole tradition of Theravada as preserved in the Abhidhamma, its commentaries, and in the summary of this tradition as in Visuddhimagga. the path of purification. We have already pointed out that the sublime cognition is a special javana. We have discussed the Panchadvaraviti and the Manodvaraviti. I hope you still remember the path of cognition which appears with the object of the five doors and path of cognition which appears with the mental object. We have also discuss what are the objects of the five door cognitions, which are the objects of the mind door cognition. We have all discussed that. Slowly, slowly, you should become familiar with this. Now, we have discussed also the 17 moments of the Panchadvara cognition. When the object is atimahanta, when the object is, the impact of the object is very great, and what happens if the impact of the object is not very great, you already know also when it is a great object or a small object, how you deduce the 17 moments of the mental cognition and you coordinate them with the anicca, the impermanence of rupa, which is 17 times slower than the impermanence of the mind. All that we have discussed. Then we have discussed the mental cognition, what happens with the mental cognition, the manodvara avajana and the javanas that we have discussed. Then we have to specially point out that the wholesome or unwholesome minds appear active minds appear only in the javana part of cognition, in no other part of cognition. That is very important to understand. So all these wholesome mental factors that we are discussing now, starting with sadda, with conviction, they appear if either in the javana kusala citta, or they appear in the vipakas with the three roots or two roots, or they appear in the kriya javana chittas. The javana chittas, they can be either in case of the putujanas of the unenlightened people, or in the case of the sekas of those who have attained the first, second, or the third stage of enlightenment but not yet fully enlightened. So in the case of these putujanas and the sekas, these factors, wholesome factors of cognition appearing in the javanas, they will be wholesome. Now, they also appear in the cognition of the Buddhas or the Pacheka Buddhas or the Arahats, and in this case they belong to Kriya Javana. The automatic javana. Automatic in the sense that it is neither belong to the wholesome cognition nor it belongs to the unwholesome cognition. nor it belong to the resultant cognition. That much we have discussed. And now, before we continue discussing the other 18 sabba kusala sadharana, other 18 factors of wholesome cognition belonging to these wholesome or kriya javanas, we have to mention, because we have already talked about the chitta-viti in case of the panchadvara-vajana, the chitta-viti with normal manodvara-vajana. Now, we have to come to the chitta-viti, special chitta-viti, which appears either in the samapatis, entering the samapatis, the eight kinds of samapatis, eight kinds of mahagata chittas, sublime minds, or they appear in the lokutara cognitions, in the super mundane cognitions. Now, when you have been training in the jhana, suppose you have been training in what object you usually take, most common object, anapanasati. Most of you, I think, are training in anapanasati, right? Now, let us see how this understanding of this special cognition appears. Now you have been training in the anapanasati. What happens when you have worked hard on your meditation object? You have developed the patibhaga nimitta, the reflected image of the breath. The reflected image of the breath becomes the object of upachara samadhi in anapanasati, of the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, according to the Abhidhamma system, five jhanas in rupa. So it is the object of all the five rupa jhanas and also of the upachara jhana. Upachara means approximate jhana. So even approximate jhana, when you are training in anapanasati, even approximate jhana cannot exist without this reflective image. This reflected image is the light or color which appears on the touching point of the breath that you have been watching, the in-breath and out-breath. It appears when the concentration and the factors connected with concentration, the five faculties and the seven bhojangas and so on, they have been developed. When these virtues have been developed, then like a maya, like an illusion, the touch of the breath will be accompanied by this color or light. So it appears just like a vision in a dream. Suddenly there appears light at the touching point of the in-breath and out-breath. Most of the meditators get attached to this experience, then they lose it, and they become frustrated. So it is very important not to get attached to it and just regard it as an illusion. Nothing more than that. When you do so, when you don't get attached to it, then it will stabilize when the virtues of the mind have stabilized. And it will stay stable as the object, this object of the all, the jhana angas that we have discussed as the first factors of the sublime mind and the first factors of the developed wholesome cognition. That means applied thought, sustained thought, piti, sukha, ekagata, all these factors of mind, the five jhana angas, five causes of first sublime apana cognition. All of them have just one object, and that is, if you train in anapanasati, that is your patibhaga nimitta, the reflected image of the breath at the touching point of the breath, of the in-breath and out-breath. Now, when this image has been stabilized, then when it can be grasped, then you can slowly forget about the breath and it will become the object of your absorption. Upachara absorption also. The only difference between the upachara absorption and the apana absorption is that in apana, the meaning of apana is nothing else but the applied attainment of the applied continuous applied thought to the desired object without interruption. Apana means attainment. An attainment of what? Attainment of the continuity in applying to one object. So the difference between apana and upachara is that in upachara, the mind still has not attained the perfect continuity on the object, the perfect apana. Therefore, it can still fall into bhavanga. But in apana, it cannot fall into bhavanga anymore. This is a difference. Therefore, it is apana attainment. And attainment refers to the nothing else but to the vitaka, which has no interruption. Even so, in the higher sublime cognitions, in the second, third, fourth, fifth jhana, there is no more applied thought. But still, it is called apana due to this continuity, attainment of continuity. But this attainment of continuity is nothing else but the attainment of continuity in application to one object, of mind in one object. So I hope you are clear about it. Now, we have already pointed out that when you have attained apana, the mind becomes established on one object and it just does not move. if this is the case, if the object does not move, the mind stays with the object, then you will be able, as we have said, you will be able to investigate the flow of the mind, which you normally cannot investigate because the mind runs from one object to the other object. Whatever object in the kamavacara citta normally, whatever object comes to prominence attracts the mind, and the mind automatically runs to the prominent object. Therefore, it has no stability. In the sublime cognition, the mind just does not do it anymore. It stays, settles with the chosen object, and it will not be attracted to any other object. Is it clear? So now, in this condition, if the mind has apana and is not attracted to any other object anymore except the chosen meditation object, this being the case, it's also does not fall into bhavanga anymore. In this condition, you can investigate also the process of entering, process of the flow of the mind, and also the process of entering the special javana, of entering into the sublime cognition. In order to change the in regard to sublime mind, in order to change the bhumi, the level of cognition, you have to pass through the special javana process. This applies to all the 8, or according to Abhidhamma, 9 levels of sublime cognitions. And this also applies to the Lokuttara, supermundane cognitions. In order to go from the normal condition, normal mind, to the supermundane cognition, you have to pass through a special javana process, special running through the object process, which is not normal manodvara vajana, and which of course is also not the panchadvara vajana, which we have described. The panchadvara viti or manodvara viti, normally the process is different. Here we have a special process of javana, special process of running through the object in active cognition. And when you have established yourself in the apana, in the attainment of the continuity to applying mind to one object without interruption, then beside learning in virtue of the sublime mind how to see the flow of the mind, which you normally cannot see because a mind has no firm base, you will also be able to see how the mind enters this sublime cognition. So there, what happens there is a special Javana process, which you have to discuss separately because it is different from the normal Manodvara Vajana, Manodvara process, which we have discussed, from the normal mental cognition, which we have discussed. So, as we have said, the meaning of Abhidhamma is, beside enlightened seeing, it is also seeing in very much in detail. Abhi is also explained as seeing in detail. So you, if you meditate in accordance with the Abhidhamma model, you have to know all these dhammas in detail. That is an Abhidhamma. So the students of Abhidhamma, they can then discuss all these dhammas in detail. Then they become full, they get full understanding of the whole process on intellectual level and also on the yogic level with the all three kinds of wisdom, the Sutamaya Panya, the Chintamaya Panya, and the Bhavanamaya Panya, mutually supporting. You know what is Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya, you have learned already? No? Three kinds of wisdom, you all know? What is the Sutamaya Panya? The wisdom which comes from hearing. That means wisdom which comes from the context, from hearing or reading the theories, the names. Names of the objects that you going to learn. The Chintamaya Panya comes from reflecting on these objects and from intellectually understanding their meaning. And the Bhavanamaya Panya comes from having intellectually understood the meaning, then you realize it in direct yogic mental cognition. And how you realize these dhammas in the direct mental yogic cognition? So first, by understanding this process, this special javana of entering into the apana, into the yogic attainment mind. So when the mind in the state of upachara jhana, when the state, when it has made itself familiar with the object of absorption, when that object of absorption has been stabilized in the manodvara, in the mental cognition process. When it changes from the kama vachara bhumi, from the stage of cognition where five sensual objects have a dominating part in cognition, to the rupa vachara cognition, where subtle forms dominate the process of cognition. When this change happens from kama vachara bhumi to the first jhana, then it happens by this special javana. If the meditator is of average faculties, not very bright, and if he is not very familiar with the apana, with the attainment of the sublime mind, then before entering the apana, before entering the rupa vachara cognition, cognition dominated by subtle forms, first from normal kama vachara cognition, there will appear so-called parikama citta. Parikama citta means preparatory moment of cognition. This preparatory moment of cognition adopts his mind to a new type of cognition. When his mind has been thus adopted, that parikama citta is nothing else but the wholesome kama vachara cognition which we are now discussing. And the mental factors of that mind are exactly the same as the mental factors of the first jhana. They do not differ. So the only difference is in the quality of these mental factors. Because in the Mahagata Citta, in the sublime cognition, the object of mind does not change and mind stays continually on the same object, then this quality of these wholesome mental factors then becomes very, very powerful. In kama vachara cognition, these wholesome factors have no great power. So they can be swept away very easily by different objects. Now they have very great power. So the mind, due to this great power of these wholesome factors, the mind has also increased wisdom so that it can investigate itself. This is also the meaning of the samahitam chittam yatha bhutam pasati. Only the concentrated mind sees these dhammas as they really are, sees the things as they really are. So what happens? This parikama citta, the mind adopts itself to the new sort of cognition. Then after this first adaptation, what happens? Upachara cognition, one moment of upachara cognition, where in the same javana, in the same running through the object, the mind approaches. Upachara means approach. Upa means near. Charati means going. Going near. The mind goes still after having adopted itself to this new type of cognition. It goes nearer to that cognition. When it has gone nearer to this new type of cognition, after upachara, appears anuloma. Anuloma is the second adaptation. Parikama is the first adaptation. Anuloma is just the second parikama, the second adaptation. Anu means in accordance. Loma literally means the hair. So pati loma means against the hair. So in that means a reverse direction. Anu means following the hair, so it means in the direction which adapts itself to the new situation. So just remember that the anuloma, in fact, anuloma moment of cognition is just the second parikama, second adaptation. If in case of a very bright one who is tikshna indriya, very bright meditator, he does not need the parikama. He goes directly near this sublime cognition and directly from upachara to anuloma. So what happens after anuloma? After anuloma happens another moment of cognition, which is called gotrabhu. In your book, I think you can find in the fourth chapter dealing with the chittavittis. Gotra bhu. Gotra means family. Family or clan, all this has a meaning of gotra. Und bhu means here, means overcoming. Gotra bhu means overcoming the family or overcoming the appartenance to the Kamavachara plane, to the plane of Kamavachara, cognition dominated by sensual objects, and having overcome this cognition, it then enters, it has overcome the cognition of the Kamavachara, then it enters the cognition of the Rupavachara, of the sublime objects. And after the Gotrabhu Chitta, Gotrabhu moment of cognition, the mind then continues without any change whatsoever, moment by moment, in the exactly the same cognition with exactly the same quality of the mental factors. So the process of then entering the Rupavachara cognition, and the same moments of cognition will happen when you have attained the path and the fruits. It is just exactly, you have to run through the same special javana like when you attain the sublime cognition. No difference. You have to go, if you have average faculties, then you have to go through first adaptation, then approaching, then second adaptation, and then overcoming the plane of normal cognition and entering the plane of the supermundane cognition, supermundane magga. This special javana necessarily has to appear whenever you change the plane of cognition. It cannot not appear. That is why the normal meditators, suppose who learn the Mahasi system or the Goenka system, who believe of some that they have some attainment, because they cannot investigate this process of special process of cognition, they only deduce their attainment from the books or from the chart. What are the conditions of the supermundane cognition? But they cannot see this process of special javana, of entering the supermundane cognition or entering the jhana cognition. So their knowledge is relatively superficial. But when you have meditated according to this Abhidhamma system, then you have the precise knowledge, not only of the whole mental factors of these cognitions, but also of this process of entering these cognitions. Each and every moment of this process and each and every mental factor in these processes, you can, one by one, you can then investigate. So the process of entering the supermundane or the sublime cognition has been compared in the Abhidhamma commentaries like jumping across the river. Suppose you have a small river, not like the mine here. It is too large, you can't do it. But you have a small river and a big tree on the one shore of the river. Huh? And how will you get to the other side? You bind a rope on the tree, then you take the rope, you run from one shore, take hold of the rope, then you swing the rope to the other shore and you jump on the other shore. That's how the kids do it. Approaching the rope from the other side is like the parikama citta. You have to get hold of the rope. Then you upachara is like getting hold of this rope and approaching the other shore. Then anuloma, before you jump down, you have to adapt yourself. You have to straighten yourself, to prepare yourself to jump on the other side. Then when you have jumped on the other side, you are still, in the first moment, you are still unstable. You have to stabilize your leg. Suppose you jump from the train or from the tram. In my time when I was a kid, I was very especially fond of jumping in and jumping out of the Straßenbahn in Prague, very beautiful old style Straßenbahn poles. So the experts always running behind the street car, you call it, jumping in the tram and then jumping out of the tram. Kids especially fond of it, but they very dangerous. Huh? And you can also go, no need to buy ticket when the conductor comes. The naughty kids like myself especially like that kind of sport. So we always jump when you jump out of the tram, before you go different direction, you have to run along the tram, then you can turn, right? Similarly, when you have landed on the other shore, you have one more step you have to do, then you can go different direction, stabilize yourself in a different. So the same like jumping from the same principle, jumping from the Prague or I don't know Frankfurt, if you had these old trams with now all automatic doors. So no more fun. In the old days was more fun than now. So if you want to jump out of the train or of the Straßenbahn, first you have to stabilize your leg, follow the course of the Straßenbahn, of the streetcar, only then you can turn to the other direction. According to the same principle, first, the gotrabu has to be there. You have to overcome your previous lineage, your previous family of the kama-vachara cognition, which is unstable and which does not enable you to stay continually with the object. Then, when you have adopted yourself, you have overcome this cognition, then you can turn and just go your way, and the cognition becomes different. The cognition becomes cognition fully taken by the sublime object. Because it is fully taken by the sublime object, the mind also becomes sublime. So it is called the sublime cognition. Then you can go in the other direction as long as you like. Then when you have gone as long as you like and you want to change your cognition again, what will happen? The mind will go into bhavanga. Only when the mind has fallen into bhavanga, you can change the cognition. If it has not fallen into bhavanga, you can't change cognition. That is very important to understand. Why? Because how can you investigate all these mental factors? Even so, you have changed the object when you have entered this apana mind, so you have gone out of the apana. The object that you see when you investigate these cetasikas is the past object. The mind cannot see itself. What the mind can only see is the past object of its past cognition. And its past cognition is the apana cognition, is the, as long as it has not fallen into the bhavanga and changed the level of cognition again, it will have to follow. As long as it remains on that level of cognition, it will still see the objects of belonging to that cognition, even if, strictly speaking, it has left that cognition. You should be clear on this principle. It is very important. Just like a finger cannot point itself, the knife cannot cut itself, the mind also cannot see itself. It can only see itself in the past cognition. And the past cognition is the cognition belonging to the apana, to the sublime cognition. Therefore, because that cognition is very stable, does not change the object, the mental factors in it are stabilized on one single object, so you can investigate them at ease. And because you are using concentration, we have already pointed out, concentration is like a microscope. It can enlarge the object 1,000 times, 10,000 times, 100,000 times. So each of these mental objects then becomes very, very clear. And each of these mental objects then can also become the object of apana. That is another secret. On any of these mental objects, even so, the Visuddhimagga mentions only 40 objects of training in concentration. Any of these mental factors can be also used as the object of concentration. And you will be surprised, you can even, all these mental factors are suitable objects not only of the approximate dhyana, but even of the apana dhyana, even of the highest apana in the rupavachara plane of the fifth jhana. Very interesting. So now we have explained the special javana in case of the apana citta, in case of the mahagata citta, the sublime cognition. Now remains another type of this special javana, which as far as the beginning they are the same, the parikama, when you enter the sublime, when you enter the supermundane cognition, the process of parikama, upachara, anuloma, gotrabhu is the same. The only difference is that after gotrabhu does not appear. Continuously, the first jhana mind, or if you enter from first jhana to second jhana, then the second jhana mind. Remember that whenever you change the plane of cognition, you have to go again through the special javana. When you go from first jhana to the second jhana, you can only do it after having passed this special javana from parikama to, in case of average person, from parikama to upachara, anuloma, gotrabhu, only then you can go to second jhana. And again from second jhana to third jhana, again same. Parikama, upachara, anuloma, gotrabhu, no exception. Now, when you have been working hard on your vipassana and you have succeeded in the highest lokika vipassana, that means in sankhara upekha jnana, and you continue very fly-sick, very diligently in contemplating in in anicca, dukkha, then what will happen? Before your realization, again, necessarily has to happen this special javana, parikama, upachara, anuloma, gotrabhu. But then appears magga. If you are haven't got yet experience of the supermundane jhana, then it will be the sotapatti magga. If you have had already experience of the supermundane jhana, then it can be higher magga, second or third, according to the case. Now, after the magga citta, even so it is only one citta, it will change completely your outlook of the world. But the magga citta happens only once. The path mind happens only once. Cannot happen twice. Then after the Magacitta happens two or three Phalacittas. If it is normally two, if you are average person and the Parikama appears, if the Parikama does not appear, then the three Phalacittas. And after that, the mind will fall into Bhavanga. This is a rule. And even so, this supermundane cognition is so short, only one jhavana process, it completely changes the outlook. And you can never, of course, forget it, just like jhana. If you have gone through the experience of the special jhavana and attain apana, you will never forget it. It is very powerful, connected with very powerful karma. So the difference, what is the difference between the Arya and the non-Arya? Because the Arya, he has gone through the special jhavana, he can at any time recall this special mental cognition and it will come back to his mind. So the Arya is the one who can at any time recalling this cognition, he can enter jhana on this cognition. That is called the phala samapati. So if you have any doubt, if you think that you are Arya, or that someone is Arya, or someone says he is Arya, you ask him to enter the Phala Samapati. If he can enter Phala Samapati, he is really the Arya. Or if you can enter the Phala Samapati, you are really Arya. If not, then no question of any Arya. This you will be able to see and investigate very clearly only when you have worked with this Abhidhamma system of meditation, otherwise not.
Is the process of changing known during the process or after?
It is known during the process. But then it is known only roughly, because you can always return to this process and see it again, then it will become clear. And you are asked, you should then investigate each and every moment of this process and each and every mental factor of this process. And now we're coming back to the mental factors which we have abandoned at Sada. Sada we have discussed. Sada means conviction or trust. And the next comes sati. Why the sati comes next, we have already explained. What is the relation between sada and sati, we have already explained. Now, in the Theravada system, this sati or achtsamkeit, mindfulness, as we see, belong to the sabba kusala sadharana, to the wholesome mental factors belonging to each and every wholesome cognition. In case of northern tradition, for example, Vaibhasika, the picture is very different because they have been using a different method of meditation. We have mentioned that. So for the Vaibhasikas, for example, in Abhidharma Kosha, you will find the Sati Smriti belongs to the Mahabhumika Chittas. No cognition without Sati. It is a difference. And this difference, we will not discuss it now in detail, but I hope I will inspire you and you can later make yourself your own investigations and try to see why it is so. If you meditate in a certain way, the things appear in a certain way. If you meditate in a different way, the things may appear in a different way. The study of Buddhism is a study of paticca samuppada, of interdependent origination. And the meditation is also interdependent origination. So you should remember that these Abhidhamma categories, they are models to be used in order to cross the river. Once you have crossed the river, you don't need anymore the model. You can But these models are very, very useful and they work. They work very, very effectively. If you fix your mind in certain way, you will see things in certain way. If you fix it in a different way, you will see things in a different way. Very wonderful things is mind. Nothing in this world and in all the other worlds more subtle and more wonderful than the mind. It will work. It will work in many, many different ways according how you arrange it. And when you have realized, then you don't need to rely on that arrangement anymore, but you can teach it to others because this arrangement is very, very useful and very, very efficient. Unless you have a system, your mind will not work efficiently. It will only work efficiently when you have a system. It is true. For the worldly things, and how much more for in meditation. This Dhamma, Buddha has explained, is only a raft to take you to the other shore. When you have got to the other shore, who will bother to carry the raft on his shoulders? But unless you have a raft, you will not be able to cross the river. And if you have the raft of Abhidhamma, you have a very, very comfortable boat. Then you can row to the other side very, very comfortably. So this Abhidhamma meditation is very, very wonderful. But as everything, it can become danger when it becomes object of clinging. So the Mahayana acharyas, they were certainly right to point out the deficiency of these systems. All these dhammas logically cannot have the self-existent nature. They are the paticca samuppada dhammas. In the Theravada tradition, they are also explained so. But it does not mean, even so, they are not the svabhavas. They are still very, very useful and indispensable for our deep understanding of Buddhism. So there is nothing more fascinating than studying of these dhammas and studying them in the processes of interdependent origination. That's what all the Theravada Buddhism is all about. So with this understanding, we come to the second Kusala Mahabhumika, or Kusala Sabha, Kusala Chitta Sadharana. That means the other mental, wholesome mental factor, which necessarily has to appear in all wholesome cognitions. But I have already pointed out, and now I repeat, not only wholesome cognitions, it can even in the mind of the arahat. These dhammas appear in their javanas, but their javanas are, strictly speaking, from the Theravada point of view, they are not a kusala javanas, they become kiriya javanas, automatic mind. We again have to repeat, this is a source of a great misunderstanding many times, that the, because in the arahat, these wholesome conditionings appear in the kiriya citta, which is an automatic mind. It does not mean that the arahat or the Buddha does not do the wholesome acts. They certainly do wholesome acts, and they can do them much more efficiently than we do. But they are not bound to the wholesome acts. In this sense, you have to understand. The kiriya citta of the arahants and of the Buddhas. So the arahats are called, for example, in the Dhammapada, they are called Buddha praises them as those without faith. They have no faith. But this is a misunderstanding. They have this mental factor of sadha is certainly in them. It appears in them just like in you and me and in everyone. But the sadha we have to understand in the sense of confidence. They have the perfect confidence in what they are doing. They have no faith in the sense that they have no hope. The arahat or the Buddha is the one who has no hope. We are still hoping, so we get frustrations. So next after sada comes in sati, and they are certainly very closely related. Because as we have pointed out, the sada, the confidence, is a base of for dhamma chanda, for the desire for dhamma. And due to desire for dhamma, there is everything. There is nothing we cannot do, starting with changing ourselves and ending with attaining the perfect enlightenment. So when there is Dhamma Chanda, when there is desire for Dhamma, it will come to expression through the practice of sati, of mindfulness. Because as we have pointed out, the literal meaning of mindfulness means memory, bringing to mind. And as, for example, Milinda Panha, the questions of Milinda, you all know Milinda Panha, very wonderful book in the Theravada tradition. Questions of the King Milinda to Nagasena Arahat. Now, this Nagasena explains, Arahat Nagasena explains to Milinda the sati as bringing to mind what is hitakari and ahitakari, what is beneficial and what is not beneficial. So you should always keep it in mind when the sati is there. How does it manifest? You bring into your mind that which is beneficial. You remember that what is beneficial for you and that what is non-beneficial for you. So the sati in the Visuddhimagga, sati is compared to the bandhagarika. How to translate bandhagarika? Bandhagarika means in the old days the kings had, today we have the finance minister, the treasurer. In the old days, they had the bandhagarika, who was the treasurer of the king, and he pointed out to the king, now, Maharaja, the great king, you have so many weapons, you have so much gold, you have so much silver, you have so many queens in your harem. You have so many beautiful clothes, you have so many subjects, you have this and that. According to his reminders of the treasurer, then the king adopted his policy. He knew exactly, according to the reports of his treasurer, what he can do and what he cannot do. So similarly, the function of sati is to not let us forget what is beneficial for us and what is not beneficial for us, and what are we to do to keep the mind in a wholesome state of cognition. So the lakkhana, the characteristic of sati, is apilapana, huh? Not floating away from the desired object, because it brings to mind what is hitakari and what is ahitakari, what is beneficial, what is not non-beneficial. Then the mind does not float away from the desired object. And what are the desired object? What is the essence of sati? The essence of sati is the practice of the four satipatthanas. The mindfulness of one's body, of one's vedana, of one's cognition, and of the beneficial factors of cognition, bringing us to clarity and away from delusion. So it is compared esika via as a pillar. Esika is a pillar, the watch pillar. In the old days, the camp, military camp, they made a pillar, and on the top of the pillar was a soldier surveying the area to see if not any enemy is trying to encroach into the camp. Then when the enemy approaching, he starts drumming. Then everybody wake up in taking the swords and defending the camp. So this is a sati, is like this esika, like the pillar. Which does not let the mind float away from the desired object. And protects it from unwholesome influences. It is very interesting to know that this apilapana is interpreted in the Abhidharma Kosha. Vasubandhu interprets it as abhilapana. Huh? Abhilapana and apilapana has very different meaning. It may have been just a Sanskritization, but it is very important, because abhilapana means articulation. Abhilapana. In Sanskrit, abhilapana means articulation of the object. And the sati is also just that. It articulates the object, desired and undesired object, to our mind. Does not let it float away from that. Therefore, it can work very efficiently. And the memory is nothing else but the articulation of the object to the mind, of the beneficial and non-beneficial objects. So we have discussed the characteristic of sati, we have discussed the function or the taste of sati, how we taste it as not forgetting the object, alambana asampramosha, the same definition appears in Abhidharma Kosha. Then it is manifested as the araka, the guarding of the object. as we have said, just like the guardian of the military camp. It guards the desired object in the mind. Guarding of the object is manifestation, or Visuddhimagga explains also visaya abhimukhi bhava, or the fact of facing the desired object. That is also sati. The fact that we are facing the desired object and do not let the mind float away from it is also the act of sati. Because of this function, the sati establishes the meditator in the desired object. So it is the base of meditation. Without sati, no question of any meditation. So sati is explained in the suttas as the cause, as the pachaya of a samadhi. Without sati, no question of practicing samadhi. And because of this force of sati, the mind has no place for negligence. Negligence is the opposite of sati, opposite of being established in the desired object, in the kaya, vedana, citta, dhamma. Or in the eight sadeya vatu we have mentioned yesterday, all these are desired objects. Now, because we have already passed our time, then the last, we have padatthana, the primary cause of sati, because as we have said, in our Theravada tradition, we have to discuss all these dhammas from the point of view of interdependent origination. They only arise in interdependent origination. And what is the padana, what is the primary cause of sati, we will discuss tomorrow, because sati is a very important factor. You repeat what you have learned, not tomorrow, today, huh? We have also, so no need to to prolong our time. We can keep to the time we have, which we have passed already, 5 minutes. And evening, what time?
Here at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. So 8 o'clock, we will continue with the padatthana, the primary cause of sati. And please, you kindly see your book and repeat these things. Try to connect what I have been saying with the material you have in the book, so that the clarity of your mind grows and does not shrink. Some of you very enthusiastic, some of you very sleepy. Those who are enthusiastic should be more enthusiastic. Those who are sleepy should get up. So I hope you will all get more and more clarity on the subject matter. Okay. Akasatta chabumartha deva naga maidika punyang tang anumoditva chiram rakantu loka sasanang. Akasatta chabumartha deva naga maidika punyang tang anumoditva chiram rakantu desanang. Akasatta chabumattha deva naga mahidika punyantang anumoditva chiramrakantu tumampara.